This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد. I want to touch on a verse that is important for us in general, but in regards to obviously what is going on in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them and feed them and nourish them, inshallah ta'ala, initially with Iman. We know that the bottom border of Rafah, that borders between Egypt and Palestine, was open, but it's not open indefinitely. Apparently, there's only one group that's allowed to go in, and this is a group called UNRWA. It's hard to pronounce it. UNRWA, and that's it's a United Nations affiliate group that they've allowed trucks to go in, because there are hundreds of trucks outside at the border, and apparently they've only allowed 20 in, but there's a need for like 600 a day to be let in. I mean, in the hundreds, that's needed for all of our brothers and sisters there. So I had the opportunity to do a fundraiser with Islamic Relief, and they are partnering with this organization to let some of these foodstuffs in. But it's not, I mean, obviously, the prohibition and allowing them in, the time frame, I don't know what the time frame is, but there is at least something getting in, but it's not, I mean, it's not enough. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow that door to be open, to allow many more trucks to get in there, and obviously for the electricity to come back on, the water to come back on. As we know, as they say, it's an open prison, but you know, Israel, they have the authority over the power and the food and whatever, supplying the general hierarchy of needs of food and drink, they control that. There's one verse that I want to remind all of us, because throughout all of this, we have to remember that it is ultimately back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trusting in Him. And all of these things that come to us, it's ultimately because of Him. And what's taken away is because of Him by His divine wisdom. In the battle of Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the battle of Uhud in the chapter of Al-Imran, roughly in the verses 130, in the 130s to around 170, roughly, 70s, 180. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and I recited in the first rak'ah, there's one verse I want to capitalize on, but it's a compilation, mashallah, tabarakallah. When speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they were in the battle of Uhud, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that the Muslims were not victorious at that time. And what's interesting about the battle of Uhud is that there was preparation, but there was also a level of disobedience and disappointment. Because we know there was what's called the Jabal al-Rumah. There were individuals that were appointed to be on a certain mountain. And if you've made Umrah, you've been on this Jabal al-Rumah. It's a small mountain that's next to, right in front of the mosque they have there. And you see Uhud. And these people were supposed to see the factions from Abu Sufyan and his other battalions, other two battalions. There were two were going to come around from one backside of Uhud, and some others were going to come around the area of Jabal al-Rumah, and some were going to come straight in. So the people that were at the Jabal al-Rumah, and Rumah means the ones that were throwing, the ones that had the arrows. They were people that were there watching, overseeing. The Prophet ﷺ told them not to go down from the mountain. So when Khalid ibn Walid was able to defeat Abu Sufyan, who was the enemy general at the time, he wasn't Muslim, but he eventually embraced Islam. The Prophet ﷺ married his daughter later in history. When Khalid ibn Walid defeated them at that moment, you see the people at the mountain, the top of the mountain, they saw that people were picking up the war booty. They were picking up the arrows and bows and the weapons. So this is artillery that they can keep, and they can keep for themselves. And artillery lasts for years. It's not like food, right? It lasts for years until the next war. You can eventually use it again. So they came down from the mountain, and some of them stayed. And they said, no, we should not go down. But some of them stayed, but the majority of them went down. Abu Sufyan and his battalion, they saw what happened, and they eventually ransacked. The Muslims came from behind, as some scholars mentioned, and conquered the Muslims, and that's how they were defeated. So there was a level of disappointment. There was a level which led to a level of weakness, right? And that's, subhanAllah, from this battle of Uhud, many lessons learned. And that's the most important thing, is that the lessons that we learn from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, the lessons that we learn from the defeat of the Muslims at that time. But in actuality, it is a victory, because the lessons that we learn, and any lesson, Muslim history or non-Muslim history, It is supposed to be a lesson learned. As they say, those who don't know history are bound to repeat it. If you don't know the history, meaning you didn't take the lessons from that historical event that will benefit you, you're bound to repeat it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a beautiful verse, when he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, he says, after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, he says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is a general message for all of us, and especially for our brothers and sisters in Palestine. It is two prohibitions, a congratulations with a condition. It's two prohibitions, and it's a congratulatory statement with a condition. So the first thing he says, La tahinu, and do not become weak. Min wahan. And that's even, subhanAllah, in the chapter of Maryam, what does Zakaria say? In the beginning of the chapter, Zakaria says, وَهَنَ الْعَظُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا, that my bones have become brittle. وَهَنَ الْعَظُ, عَظُم is bones. وَهَن means become weak. Right? And Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even says in a lengthy hadith, he says that أَصَابَكُمُ الْوَهَن, أَصَابَهُمُ الْوَهَن, that people, and he mentioned people in later times, they will be affected by wahan. And then they said, what is this wahan? He said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. He said, it's the love of this dunya and hatred for death. That is what he defined that wahan is, which would be in our time. So the Prophet, so that's the understanding of weakness. But it's far beyond what we say of the physical nature. It's the weakness even in understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that when whatever you encounter, you don't bring it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hikmah and wisdom. Because with that anchor of understanding, embracing, and internalizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wise in doing this, I don't know why, but I trust in His wisdom. And that's how I stay strong. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. And he says tahzan and huzn is sadness, but the scholars even define it even more because Allah says la tahzanu, and it says la takhafu. Huzn is a form of sadness from that which has preceded you, that which happened in the past. Like right now, many of us are sad because what is happening and what has happened to our brothers and sisters. We have community members here. We've seen in the WhatsApp text messages, their family members have passed away. Huzn, sadness. But the hopes for that sadness is for us to learn from it and to learn more about Allah from it, okay, from His predestination, and to allow that to be a means of strength ultimately. That is why even when it comes to mourning of a woman, a widow, there's something called ihdad. In fiqh, in Islamic law, the woman has 10 days. There's a 10-day period where she can mourn. No? There's a time period to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands that we as human beings, this will take place. So Allah says, لَا تَحِنُوا تَحِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Those are the two prohibitions. Not saying that if you have it immediately, it's haram and you're a sinner. But it's a form of encouraging you and saying, look, don't be sad. Don't become weak. Don't become weak because of the, what? Sadness. You see the connection. لَا تَحِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنُ. A'loun comes from ulu, and you are the ones that are lofty, meaning the believers. Why are you lofty? Initially, because of your belief in Allah. How many people, when they face a sad situation and they don't believe in Allah, what may they do? They may commit suicide. They may become nihilistic. The meaning of life is, what does it mean? There's no meaning of life, right? Many things that take place for those that don't have an anchor that is transcendent, something that is beyond them, something they know that is beyond their existence that they can trust in and rely on. And for us as Muslims, it is one, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the creator of the heavens and the earth. So here, he says, Antumul a'loun, and you are a'loun because you went and fought in jihad because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make his word the highest word and to defend the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what about the ones, if you're doing that, how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave you to your demise? And when we say demise, we don't mean demise in this tangible world. We mean demise when it comes to the demise of your iman with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you stand in front of him. When those hard times came, did you become weak? Did you become weaker because of your sadness? Did you let the sadness persist? Did you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, antumul a'lawn. Antumul a'lawn. But with the condition, and here's the condition. In kuntum mu'minin. You notice everything that I talked about, weakness, sadness, it's a reality, takes place. But Allah is saying, do not let that persist. Although it may happen, do not let it persist and be a normality for you where you are sad and you disbelieve, ultimately can disbelieve in the mercy of Allah. Many of us now, subhanAllah, you know, we see what's going on. We may ask, where's the mercy of Allah in this? I had one non-Muslim ask you, where's the mercy of Allah in that if y'all are Muslim? Like I told you before, my father said during the Iraqi war, if y'all are Muslims and you're on the right path, how can this be happening to you as Muslims? Yeah, you, my son, you left this face of Christianity where we have all of these good things. We have all many churches on the block and we are living in prosperity. But then your supposed brothers and sisters are going through this. This is mercy. This is Ar-Rahman. This is the merciful one. And he used to hold his neck like this. He said, how? The Muslims are held like this. This is what you're professing that you want to become. This is the truth you're telling me? No. It is important for the Muslim to think beyond this life and beyond what they see on television, to know that that is a qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what he's predestined, and to trust that there's an ultimate wisdom behind it, with the fact that when you think about it, you're sad, you cry. But at the end of the day, you say what? Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient for me. You know, if you see some of these videos, there's a video someone showed me, subhanAllah, his relative, he's walking through the street, and there's things that you see, people that he sees on the street, they're deceased, blood everywhere. He's saying, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. He's saying it over and over. Allah is sufficient for us. And he's the best one that we trust in. Allah is sufficient for us. Sometimes you have to say it to remind yourself. This is the wisdom of subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Like when you say this dhikr after salah, you have to think, glory to Allah, glory to Allah. Because if I didn't have Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what would happen to me? Mentally, psychologically, what would happen to me? Spiritually, what would happen to me? What would happen to me if I don't just mention the name of Allah sometimes to remind myself? So when we say subhanAllah, hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, hasbunallah, Allah is sufficient for me. When you feel those times of sadness and anxiety, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. How many times have we separated a fight sometimes? You tell them, relax, relax. He's like, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. That does something. It's even a science in psychology called CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. To where you ask yourself questions and sometimes you answer them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, antumul a'lawn in kuntum mu'mineen, if you are from the mu'mineen. You are at a lofty position with the condition that you are a mu'min. And a mu'min is someone that has iman. And iman is something that is a concept of the initial belief in Allah, trust in Allah, but it is act, and this is important. All of us, inshallah, are mu'mineen. We all have iman. We all believe in Allah. We all believe in his messengers, his books, the last day, the day of judgment, predestination. We believe in all of this, inshallah, alhamdulillah. But the iman, when some scholars say there's Islam, iman, and ihsan, right? The Islam is, we believe in, you know, these five pillars of Islam and even the six pillars of iman. The iman is where, when the trial comes, is that belief in those things activated? This is what's important. Is it activated? When you face a time of trial and tribulations, do you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you call on Allah? Do you trust in Allah? When people come to you and they say, as it said to the Prophet, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. People have gathered, they're gathered to come against you, O Prophet. All these people are gathered to fight you and they want you to die because of your message. There are so many nations that are against our brothers and sisters in Palestine that are funding, and some of us with our own tax dollars, unfortunately, may be funding this effort. Right? Everyone is against us. What does Allah say? What is Allah, subhanAllah? He says that إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمْعُوا فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. when they told them, be fearful, the munafiqun said, all these people are gathering against you. Aren't you scared? It's like they're saying, aren't you scared? But Allah says, it increased them in their iman. Is your iman activated in times of hardship, turbulence, to where in the beginning you will be fearful naturally, but at that time of fear, what happens in your heart? Is it activated? Do you trust in Allah? When your innocent children ask you, Baba, why would this take place? You give them, yes, the generic answer, we trust in Allah. You teach them the meaning of Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. You teach them the name of Razak. You teach them the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse is so beautiful because in these turbulent times, brothers and sisters, it is the time for these things that we know in our iman and in our heart to be activated. And it is activated with dua. It is activated by doing actions of khair. And we will talk about that, bi'nillah. So let's remember this beautiful verse in the chapter Al-Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not be weak and do not be sad. And you are of the lofty ones if you are of the true believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that do actions of belief to increase us in our iman in Him, to further engender more actions of belief, which will further make us stronger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our brothers and sisters in Philistine strong, and keep them strong in their iman, and keep them strong in their awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feed those that are in destitute, that are hungry, and bless those with water, and bless those with any type of nourishment that they may need, the thirsty ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our brothers and sisters all around the world, and any type of help that comes to where they are thankful and know that it is from you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for any of our shortcomings in making dua for them or doing what we can, fi wus'ina, in our capacity to help them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that come closer to the Quran and look at these beautiful messages, timeless messages of the Quran that are consistent and never change. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our brothers and sisters and allow the assistance to come to them in abundance and them being thankful to you. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barakatuh nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakallah khairan.